Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's go to Florida, where it's going to be and is a lot warmer than it is here in New York City with Kevin Kernan of the New York Post. Kevin, and I'll tell you, it's very cold here. We can guess it's not very cold where you are.
No, I'm actually sitting on the patio. Might have a glass of wine and just relaxing a little bit. But, you know, we do get up early. Spring training for the writers, you're up at 5:30 in the morning. And if you do what I do sometimes, where you jump to different teams, you're on the road at, you know, 6 o'clock. So I don't want anybody, you know, I don't want anybody to feel too sorry for me. So it's it's very nice. And, you know, that's why they've had it in Florida and out in Arizona forever. They're foreign, baby.
We envy you, Kevin, that's for sure. And spring training really about 10 seconds underway. I would imagine there isn't a great deal of hard-hitting news at this point in time other than what players, and you're covering both the Mets and the Yankees, what they may have to say about what's been going on with Houston.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's the main theme right now. Everybody's centered on Houston. I came down 10 days early, so I tried to get a good feel for what the Mets are doing. Second year Brody, so I think you're getting a little bit more organizational hope because of what they're doing with the coaching staff and teaching like that. Mm-hmm. But with the Astros, I was just there for 2 days. The Jim Crane, I was the one who asked Mr. And I actually, sometimes when I don't want to take any prisoners, I say Mr. Crane, what do you have to say to the Yankees? And you remember his response about really didn't impact the game,
right,
which is ludicrous. So, yeah, the Astros are going to have to wear it. I went back the next day, talked to Altuve and Correa and some of those guys, and Dusty Baker, I've known for, you know, forever. And, you know, it's funny because we're talking about Lance McCullers coming back from a Tommy John surgery, because he's going to have to, you know, when you talk about the field, too, don't forget they got to replace Gerrit Cole. So that'll be McCullers. But he's coming back from Tommy John, and this is what makes Dusty so dusty. Because, you know, I was teammates with Tommy John. So you have a guy who is managing a team who's teammates with the guy with the surgery is named after. So he'll bring that experience. He'll diffuse it to some extent. But it's going to be very interesting to see if it eats the Astros from the inside out, psychologically and physically. And I'm already getting a bad feel for them. They have a great team, but I think they're going to be up against it this year. It's going to be a lot of hatred out there. You're seeing it. And, Steve, it's very interesting, man. I want to investigate this next week, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I think the players are so upset with this across the board because this is an analytical, for the most part, driven experience. Technology. It's, you know, it's cameras. It's not players doing stupid stealing things that they've always done in the past or getting themselves in trouble. This is the nerds taking over. So this is the next step of the Stepford Wives baseball we're going to see. And so I think that's why a lot of these players are upset, because this is one nerd trying to beat another nerd, coming up with a nerd solution, and then the players falling in line and going with it. So I think that's one of the reasons why I think the players from other teams are so upset, because it's cheating. Obviously, they're upset because of that. They're getting unfair advantage. But also, it didn't come from within. It came from another source. It came from people that aren't on the field. And it's just a couple thoughts that I have about it. And it's going to be, you know, Altuve, he should have just seen him when he was done. He sat in the, after everything was done, basically in the clubhouse, just sat there chewing on his fingernails. He looked nervous as heck. So it's going to be the big story. I think it's horrible. Before you even ask me this, you know, I think it's just one of the worst things I've seen, because if you know what pitch is coming, I can't even begin to tell you what an advantage that is for the hitter.
Oh, sure. It doesn't guarantee you're going to get a hit, but psychologically, it gives you a tremendous advantage right then and there with that. Let me ask you this, because you've been with and will continue to be with both looking in on the Mets and the Yankees. Have you heard or seen any anger regarding this Houston scandal? Have you run into some anger and or retaliation talk once they get to see Houston in person?
There will be retaliation. I don't care what anybody says. They're keeping it quiet right now. The anger you've seen is from the Dodgers, Cody Bellinger, who, Mike Rizzo. The anger I've seen, the passion I saw in his voice yesterday. I was with the Nationals, too, yesterday. Mm-hmm. And he was so upset by this. And he was upset because just to have him, it's one thing to cheat, but then not even to say the word cheat. And that's what really set Mike off. And he's been 38 years in baseball. He doesn't want to deal with, this is the last thing he wants to deal with. But like he said, and he said yesterday, I haven't even heard the word cheat come out of their mouths yet. This would have never happened in Washington because I would have been all over it. So,
what everybody is saying, and you're right about that, and you don't hear the word cheat. What you hear is, we broke the rules.
Right. It's crisis management 101. That's what this is. They paid some PR firm a lot of money to come up with this. We broke the rules. We're remorseful. Mm-hmm. But it's none of that, we're really sorry because we got caught. That's basically it.
Oh, sure.
I love the fact that they said something like that. So I think that, as the year goes on, getting back to your prior point, that's going to feed the anger. And there's going to be some pitchers that are just going to let it fly at these guys, especially if they have some friends that maybe got cut or never made it back, you got to be careful because you don't want to get yourself in trouble. But at the same time, messages will be sent, and there's no doubt about it. And it's the old days, though. I've talked to a lot of veteran pitchers about this. Never would have happened in the past because guys like Nolan Ryan, as soon as Greg Maddux, he would have figured it out in three pitches. You know what? He would have put down the signal, let them think they're getting a changeup, and it would have been a fastball under the chin.
Yeah.
But this is a new generation, and they don't think that way. But I'll tell you what, they're starting to think a little bit more like that way. And I think it's great for the game in this respect, Steve, because we don't have these guys kissing each other's butt now on the field before a game. When they play the Astros, there's going to be some fire there before each one of these games. And I can't wait to sit down and spend some time with Judge to talk about this.
And so many people, even with all of this going on, and again, some cynics are going to say, what's worse, they're cheating or they're non-apologies, especially Jim Crane. And you mentioned, and we're talking with Kevin Kernan of the New York Post, covering in Florida both the Yankees and the Mets. Kevin, we know about, and you alluded to this, about the PR firm, the damage control people that Jim Crane hired, apparently with his response the other day, apparently he went off script, because if the PR firm that he hired for damage control gave him that kind of conversation, gave him that kind of apology, then I think he needs to get himself another PR firm, that's for sure.
Well, like everything else that's happened there, it's been done wrong. And again, this is for people, just to give a little insight into my job. I always show up early, Steve, and there's a reason for that. It's one of the things I tell young writers all the time when they ask me what to do. I tell them to read books a lot and show up early. Mm-hmm. I showed up early, and I don't know which player it was because I don't know every single player. There's like 40 or 50 of them. There had to be a pitcher. But he walked by the area where we were setting up for the big press conference before we went in the clubhouse. And he had a sheet of paper with him, and he saw someone he knew because he was mingling club people and media and stuff like that. And he took his sheet of paper, which was folded in half, and he says, "Hey, I got to go inside. I got to practice my script." So what does that tell you? It's exactly what you just said. The PR firms put out the talking points. It's no different than politics. They had their talking points. They stuck with it. And it's, but you know what? There's no talking points when you get on the field. It's going to be fun to see this year. And like I wrote that very first day, the Yankee hate will fuel them all year for this revenge. This will be a revenge tour for the Yankees.
Oh, I do. This is going to motivate. There's no question about it. A lot of people and most baseball types, they're saying, and accurately so, the Yankees are the team to beat. And they're also saying that the two best teams in the American League to go along with it's the Yankees and the Houston Astros. I don't think they're going to win what is projected for them by a number of people already, 94, 95 wins. I think they are going to suffer with so much of the vitriol all over the country. Everywhere they go, they're going to hear it from the crowd, maybe in the hotel where they stay on the road, probably everywhere outside of Houston. This business is going, they're going to hear from everybody in, on the field, outside the field, you name it. I think they are not going to have the season a lot of people project for them.
Absolutely. And I think, let's not forget one other thing too, Steve. They're not going to be able to cheat as much. So that's going to affect how successful they are too. Because I was at game five, Steve, when it was game five in the against the Rays. You know, they won two games at home. They lost two games in Tampa Bay. Mm-hmm. They come back. Tyler Glasnow gets lit up. Four runs the first inning. I turned to Jason Stark, who was sitting next to me, and I said, wow, something's going on here. Four runs before they got an out. Everything was a rocket. And now this guy Glick is the GM of Houston. And he was with the Rays front office. So I asked him the other day, I said, what did you guys think of Rays when you saw your guy getting lit up that way? And he says, well, we believe it was just old-fashioned tipping of pitches. So again, that's how it helps. So you get four runs in the first inning in a winner-go-home game. So it's going to be, and I didn't believe that answer for a second because I think the Astros were onto something there.
You think, I mean, obviously the commissioner, even he's reflecting on the punishment, which is like a slap in the wrist, the $5 million, the four draft picks. You know, he did fire a general manager, did fire A.J. Hinch. But none of the players, obviously outside of Beltran, mentioned in the in Manfred's report. What do you think could have been done with the players? We know about lawsuits and the union fighting everything as well. Had Manfred started pointing out all the players that were involved, which may be the entire team altogether, do you think Manfred could have done a little bit more?
Absolutely. He dropped the ball. As I said the other day, Mike Fiers talked. So once Mike Fiers talked, that opened Pandora's box, or as I called it, Manfred's box. And he could have done more. He could have had some suspensions in here, rollover suspensions where different times, different way. And I think what we're seeing from the players now, how they were so upset to the other teams, I don't know if the players' union would have fought that hard if some of these guys had gotten suspensions. Mm-hmm. Now I don't know how long you could have suspended them for. But you know what? You could have made it so it never happens again by giving the players immunity because they needed the investigation. To me, that's all a crock, and I think baseball blew it. And now they're trying to cover it up a little bit, making it go away. And it should have been done more. It should have been done more to these players. There should be more of a price to pay. And I never thought I would think this way, but I'm even to the point where maybe you take that World Series away.
Well, and a lot of the callers that we've had, this entire week, suggesting also, Kevin, the exact same thing, much like with the NCAA, just vacate, just take away their championship.
Exactly. Why not? And because you saw when you're in that room, you saw how every one of them now suddenly said, "Oh, it was 2017. We're so remorseful. We're so upset." Even guys like J.D. Davis, who were just 24 years old, popped in. He's a Met now. But they all went from saying, way back when a few months ago, to now, "Oh, I'm ashamed." So when they start going to that level without saying the word cheat, that tells me it's a lot worse than it was. And I think. Could you imagine, to me, that would have been a Kennesaw Mountain Landis move And I don't think Manfred would want to do that. Because he, don't forget, too, Luhnow was the guy he worked with.
Mm-hmm.
And again, Luhnow is despised mm-hmm. among other GMs and scouts because how he ran his business and basically got rid of scouts. So that's another reason, too. But Luhnow was the guy who I think was involved with Manfred in trying to cut down the minor leagues as well, the Luhnow plan.
Mm-hmm.
Luhnow plan, it's pronounced Luhnow.
Right.
And so Manfred was working side by side with this guy, basically, on that minor league plan. So there's a lot here, a lot to digest. At this point, I am looking at everything very negatively, and I'm not taking anybody's word. I'm not trusting anybody on this. And I think if Manfred had dropped the hammer, sent out a buzzer beater, so to speak, this would have all stopped. He wouldn't have worried about it. And I think he would have solidified himself as commissioner for years to come.
And not only has Manfred dropped the ball here with punishment, but he also ignored, what was it, Kevin, 10 or 11 teams complaining about something fishy, something going on with the Houston Astros before 2017, before Mike fires.
Way before. And I'll give you another little story, but I was talking to some scouts at the end of the year, and it was a Yankee series, and they were at the bar, and they saw a scout that they didn't recognize, a young guy, and they overheard him speaking to somebody at the bar saying he was a Houston Astros scout. And they were wondering, wow, that's weird. I haven't seen him in the scout section. Well, the next day, one of those scouts walked up along the third baseline of Yankee Stadium. I believe they have a Yankee Stadium when this happened in New York. And he saw that scout sitting along the third baseline. So he's sitting alone, doing his own thing, probably got a camera working. Hmm. So, exactly. Everybody complained about Houston. Everybody knew something was going on. They could have been investigating this from, easily for the last couple of years and come up with something better here. And if not for Mike Fiers, I don't think we would have even gotten this far.
Is it fair to say, Kevin, that that Houston scout at the bar may have been getting a buzz on?
Exactly. Steve, one thing I miss is I can't wait to hear all your comments about this, the Astros and, things like that. I'm sure you've laid them all out today, but yeah, they get a different kind of buzz on in Houston. And, their slogan last year was take it back, but I think this year the motto will be just steal it back.
And Carlos Correa today, Kevin, was talking about the reason that Altuve didn't take their shirt off is because there was an ugly tattoo.
That tattoo. Yeah, that's a big problem on major leaguers, that tattoos. The irony there is that Chapman has all kinds of tattoos, but he didn't care. And I saw Sanchez, and I like Gary Sanchez, and I know a lot of Yankee fans get frustrated with him, but I thought you got to see the real Sanchez the other day when he pointed out that, hey, they could have taken my pants off. And I asked Altuve that. I stood right next to him, and that's the first thing I asked him. I said, because he's trying to explain it away. I said, why didn't you let them rip off your shirt? Why did you go in there and change it? He gave me a long, convoluted non-answer, but that was a bad answer too. And it goes against everything that the game is about. You win, you hit a walk-off homer to win a series, send your team to the World Series, and you're worrying about, what your wife might say because you don't look good with your shirt off. And he does look good with his shirt off, and so none of it made any sense, and I just think it's the big cover-up.
Let me ask you about Alex Rodriguez. Is he going to buy the Mets, Kevin?
I've been telling people for weeks that it would not shock me if they ever got involved in this. When I used to go to Miami, the post was great. They sent me all over. They used to send me to Miami every year when A-Rod was still playing, and we'd sit there and chat. And a lot of it would be off the record. But he always told me that he would love to buy a team. He has the connections. Don't forget, this is Mr. Buddies with Warren Buffett and all those guys. So he's got the financial. He's got the J-Lo. He's got everything working. He would love to buy a team because I think that rivalry between him and Jeter is still there. They could be owners. It would be wonderful. I'm all for. I think that's why he kind of got himself back in the good graces of baseball, so he could eventually maybe put together a group to buy him. And I think it would be the greatest thing ever if A-Rod owned a team. That would be, you know, and if it were the Mets, you know what? Bring it on.
And Steve Cohen, totally out of the picture. Why do I think there is still, even though it is arguably as remote as can be, why do I still think Steve Cohen might still be around?
Because I think he is around. I think this is, you know, when the big boys play for big money, there's no rules, basically. You know, you're always trying to get the leg up. And I was with Jeff the other day, and we were talking about it a little bit, and, you know, just chatting about it. And I got the feeling that if the price was still right, you know, Steve, I think he wanted to come in there and say, you know what, I want to get ownership early, and I want to take control early. But to the Wolpons credit, that very first press release they put out there said 5 years. They made it very clear.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's what was happening there. I think Cohen is trying to say, you know what, if I'm going to spend this money early, I want control early.
Right.
And I just don't see Jeff Wolpon giving up power. I do think it's still out there, but I do think Jeff wants to be, you got to see him, you know, he's in the morning, 8 o'clock in the morning, he's in the clubhouse talking to these guys. It's what he's all about. It's his whole, you know, it's what makes him go. So, you know, I think he's going to hold on for dear life with this as long as he can.
Paul LaDuca was on the station a couple of days ago reflecting on Jeff Wolpon. He hated that Wolpon, Jeff Wolpon, was seen all the time in the locker room, down on
all
the field.
Time.
And he was just teeing off on Jeff Wolpon. So, and he thought that Jeff Wolpon still carries the dream of becoming a Major League Baseball player. But the thing is, some people have projected and predicted that by the end of this year, the Wolpons may sell. Your thoughts on that, Kevin?
Well, I think it could happen simply because, you know, with Fred getting older and the situation with the Sal Cats, it definitely could happen. It definitely could happen. But I think if Jeff could find a way, he would stay in charge and still be a big part of this team for many years to come. And getting back to that, because that's a good point you make about LaDuca and that comment, I get what LaDuca's saying. But, you know, when I'm in there, nobody's complaining.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the pitchers aren't complaining. LaDuca wasn't complaining. They could have even said, hey, this is our clubhouse. Get out. Because that's what ball players do. First time I walked into a clubhouse, 1978, I had a question for Thurman Munson, and I can't repeat what he said. It was a different era, you know? But he was just testing me. So players control that clubhouse. That's their domain. If they don't like Jeff around, they could easily get rid of him and tell him to leave. But I tell you what, the interaction I've seen, they enjoy having him around. They really do.
Well, you got to be careful also with the owner. You don't want to get too crazy. You don't want to get too assertive.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, the next thing you know, you're on the outside looking in. You're fined, whatever it is already. Let me ask you about Luis Rojas. Does he come off? Now, it's only 10 seconds into spring training, and then I want to ask you a question or two about the Yankees, but with Luis Rojas, does he look comfortable to you with his very first spring training starting?
I'm very impressed with Rojas, and for lots of reasons. I know his father very well. When he got the job, I called Felipe, you know, and I spoke to Bruce Bochy as well. Bochy knows him well.
Mm-hmm.
This guy's 30, and I also talked to the clubbies, the people who have come up through the minor leagues with him, and they all tell me the same thing. He just acts older than he is. He's an old soul who's in a 38-year-old body. He's very responsible. He's accountable. Those are great traits to have as a manager. I think the Mets lucked into it. I think he's going to do a very good job. I'm very impressed. But this is the Mets, so anything can happen. But I think he's got it together. The players really think highly of him. I don't think any situation, the game is going to get ahead of him.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's got a good coaching staff. So I'm very impressed with Rojas. I'm also impressed with how he handles the job. And I saw him up here when he got the job, and we set something up. And he was supposed to be there in Port St. Lucie when we were having a get-together, the story I wrote about 10 days ago. And he showed up, man. He He did exactly what he's supposed to do. And we sat there and talked for an hour, and he was super comfortable with whatever question I asked him. And that's when he told that great story when he learned a lesson about the player who's 8 years old, West Palm and rookie ball. I think it was an older brother of his who was on the team. But he was getting on the players for striking out. And his father, Felipe, who hadn't been to the majors yet as a manager, went ballistic and sent him to the office, made him sit in the office the rest of the game. And from that point forward, from 8 years old on, he knew not to, how hard this game is and the respect to players. And I think he has that respect for the players, and I think it's going to carry him this year. I think Mets fans are going to be pleasantly surprised.
And Alonso wants to win a gold glove, Kevin.
They come a long way. This is the guy who does the Taekwondo. He told me that last year. Remember that story I had? So I was amazed at his balance. And, he said if this baseball thing hadn't worked out, he would have been a Taekwondo guy. I don't sell Alonso short on anything. And that would be some parade if he does what he says he wants to do, if the Mets were ever to win it. Alonso has come a long way. Sometimes what he needs to do at first base, he needs to not try to make every play. He needs to scale it back a little bit,
right.
Make the plays he can make, get out of the way. Don't range too far. But I think he could be a very good first baseman. Gold Glove, we'll see. But I think he could be a very good first baseman.
Yeah, he made some nice picks, and you bring up a great point. He was really drifting over into second baseman territory.
He's like a chocolate lab. He's very excitable.
Right. And by the way, where is Cespedes?
Oh, God. I don't know. That story, I've been asking about him myself. They all think, here's what the Mets think. They'll tell you what they really believe here is that he's so motivated, they don't think they'll have any problems with him. But don't fall for any of the stuff that he's back until you actually see him make a cut in the outfield
right.
When he misjudges the ball and has to go left when he real sharp turn, or at first base when he's jogging and all of a sudden he tries to turn it on and has to make the turn at first base. I'm not believing anything about Cespedes being back until I see that in action, because he can still hit, he'll do all that stuff, but he's much older, and I still have my doubts whether he can come back. But the Mets do have, they think he's in the late frame of mind because he has to prove it. And he has to play for a forward contract, and that's how you want Cespedes.
And we're talking, and Kevin Kernan of the New York Post, covering the Yankees and the Mets in spring training in Florida. And we've been very fortunate to have Kevin for as long as we've already had. And here's, I want to ask you about Gerrit Cole. When he signed with the Yankees, he said pressure is a privilege. He will be feeling pressure, will he not, Kevin, that he didn't feel with the Houston Astros, that's for sure, even though we're talking postseason with them. But this is New York City. He's got the big contract, the expectations for him, and the Yankees are all the way to the World Series and winning it. Do you think he might have some adjustments mentally to make regarding the new team and the new money and the expectations, which are so high?
To an extent, but the Yankees do such a great job of protecting their players and really setting them up for success that I asked Altuve that the other day. I said, what are we going to get here? And I said, what's it like playing behind Cole? He goes, well, not a lot of ground balls, a lot of strikeouts. It's kind of boring sometimes, because he just does his thing. So he says he's very, from what he knows of him personality-wise, he's one of the most determined people he's ever had. And he said he's very smart. So he will take an analytical approach to this thing. And I remember talking to him a few years ago in the clubhouse. And I talk to players about everything, not just baseball. That's how you get to know him. But he had this funky baseball cap on with an insignia I didn't recognize. And I said, "Hey, what's that all about?" And he goes, "Oh, my buddy, he does a lot of work with SpaceX. He does, I'm just wearing his cap for him. So this guy is not just he's just not a baseball player. This guy's a smart guy, and I think he'll revel in this being a Yankee and having the opportunity, because that's what Altuve said. They said all this guy wants to do is get back to the World Series.
Yeah.
So I think it's It's a signing that should have been done a few. It's a trade that should have been done a few years ago. My question is this: like all the other Astros coming, you know, things that happened with the Astros. There's no doubt he got better with the Astros. Can he carry those same, whatever he did with the Astros to have success? Can he bring it over here, even though it's a different pitching coach and things like that? But my guess is he is so ahead of the curve. Intellectually, as well as having that desire and fire to win, that he will, and being surrounded by guys like Judge, I think it's going to be a party.
You think, let me ask you two pitching questions. One, Paxton gone for at least half the season. Are they going to give, who might have the inside track? We're thinking Jordan Montgomery. Give us your take.
Yeah, I think that's right. And the Yankees, you know the Yankees, they'll play it by ear. There might be somebody we're not even thinking of, but Montgomery definitely, they're going to go that way first. And I have my doubts about Paxton, because you get a back injury, man. I mean, I don't even know if we'll see him this year. I think it'll be very tough for Paxton. Yeah, I just think it's so hard to come from a back, because right now it's all a guesswork at this time. We got to see how he does, you know, and if he can come back from this. Mm-hmm. You're talking to a guy who had a lumbar laminectomy in 1988, so I know about backs, man. It takes a long time to recover. He's going to be a free agent. So I don't think in any way, shape, or form you can count on him later on. And I think if the Yankees are close, there'll be guys out there that they can trade for. So it could be a totally different situation. But the bottom line is they have the horse at the top. They'll figure out a way. And, hey, maybe they'll have an opener down the road. Wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah. And do you think they're going to miss Betances?
I think so. He's, because we saw with Ottavino, for all of Ottavino's success last year, Steve, mm-hmm. when it came to be, it's a different game in October, and he got lit up a little bit. So he's going to have to make that mental adjustment. And Betances was such a steady guy, a good teammate. Now, he had his injury problems last year. But I think if the Yankees had a healthy Betances in October, it would have been a much different October. So I think they're going to miss Betances to an extent. They do have a great bullpen, though. So you know, the thing the Yankees have to avoid is garbage sliders from Chapman, like mm-hmm. the one Altuve hit out.
Yeah,
I mean, that's the thing that scares me about the Yankees, because you know Chapman's going to be there at the end of the game. You know, just go with your best pitch more. He needs to throw more fastballs. Needs to challenge guys. And if he's going to throw that slider, he better bury it. So they're going to miss chances to a degree, but I still think they're pretty loaded.
Well, as we learned from Altuve, it certainly helps to be able to hit Chapman if you know what's coming, Kevin.
Well, that's another thing, Steve. When everybody always says, because a lot of times the John Board guy who did all that great video stuff with the face, the drama, and the comments after some of that was, well, you know, a lot of those were bad pitches. Yeah, they were bad pitches, but if you know a slider's coming and it just hangs, man, you're all over it. So you know, and I think, too, this is just my gut feeling. I can't prove this, but I think there's certain times probably where they revved it up. Like if they really needed to know what a pitcher was, well, maybe they wouldn't use it certain times. But I think if it was, push comes to shove, they really needed it. I think they found a way to try to get an advantage over the pitcher.
Mm-hmm. Did the Yankees have a weakness, Kevin?
Well, that's a great question. I think, you know what, we skipped the one guy that I think there is a little bit of a weakness there. I think Didi brought a lot to the party. Didi, I remember going to visit Didi and Curacao and coming away impressed and telling Yankee fans and writing those columns back then, this guy's a perfect fill-in for Jeter. He's going to be great. And I think that could put a little pressure. It depends how Torres handles the pressure, but it's much harder playing shortstop every day. Torres has got it. He's just got to be himself. He can't try to be somebody else, and his range isn't. I don't think it's going to be as good as Didi's. But I think missing Didi, Torres is going to be a good hitter. But I still miss Didi at shortstop. I think right there is they got to prove their strength up the middle. To me, that might be their one weakness.
Although I'm sure they feel comfortable at the moment with Torres over there at short.
Absolutely. But what I'm saying is I think Didi was a little – people didn't appreciate how good Didi was. And when Didi was healthy, phenomenal player. But that's a hard guy to replace. Plus, Didi was a teammate that kept everybody uplifted. Never looked for the spotlight on himself. Mm-hmm. Always kept he spoke, you know, all those different languages. He was a unifier in that clubhouse. I'm not saying Torres can't do it. All I'm saying, if there is a weakness, it could be missing Didi.
And one final question, and then we'll let you go, Kevin. Can't thank you enough for the time. You know that. Urshela, a great glove, and he hit well. Tauchman, he hit well. Are the Yankees thinking that these guys, at least offensively, could be one-year wonders?
I think there's some of that suspicion, but I don't think they will be. I think they made great adjustments. And I asked Urshela halfway through, I said, how did you become the hitter you are now? And he obviously made some adjustments to attack a little bit better and be a little quicker. But he said, you know what I did most of all? I took, because he's an unbelievable confident fielder, and you see what he does in the field. He said, I took the same confidence that I had at third base. I took it into the batter's box with me for the first time in my career, and that's how I became the hitter I became. So I think he grew as a hitter last year.
And real quick, if Andujar is healthy and looking like he did his rookie season, what do they do with him?
I think you see him as a super utility type guy. You know, fit him where you can. I mean, you already get, you know, mm-hmm. obviously you have all the other positions covered, mm-hmm. but I think you can bounce around, and if you have a falter, maybe if there's some faltering at first base, you can play him there. But I don't think you can just take a guy like Andujar and suddenly make him a first baseman. I think that's hard. So I think he'll be like the kind of guy who can bounce around a little bit, give him energy, and just another weapon to make that lineup so deep.
Just a great spot, Kevin. I can't thank you enough for the time. Take care of yourself. We'll talk soon.
Always great to be on with you, Steve. Thanks so much.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.